Hallelujah. 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 Very quickly, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, we're looking in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, or you can just even read it off the screen. It's just one verse. It goes with everything God is doing here this morning, with everything that God is saying. Genesis 15, verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward.'" This is the word of the Lord this morning. Amen. Will you receive it? Amen. You may be seated. Just want to point out a few things from this passage. You see, first of all, you have Abram who has been given a promise, and I think he's grown weary in well-doing. Abram has been given a promise, and he's had to fight for his promise. He's had to fight for what it is that he is looking forward to, what it is that he is anticipating. He's just come out of a battle, and he's very tired. He will go on in this passage to talk to the Lord and to suggest to the Lord that he gives his inheritance to one of his servants instead of following through and believing the Lord for the promise. He's, again, gotten tired in well-doing. He fought the battle, he paid his tithes, he felt like everything was great, but now the promise of the Lord he feels has to come about in another way, another shape, another form. And the Lord begins talking to Abram and tells him, "I am your shield and I am your exceedingly great reward." He begins telling him who God is, and that's what we really need to focus on. If we get focused on what we think the harvest should look like, and we don't focus on the Lord of the harvest, then we're going to miss it when he tells us to put the sickle in. If we're focusing on the wheat fields, and we're not focusing on the one who has the keys to the combine, then we're going to miss it. We'll try and find some other way to make it happen. And that's what Abram does in this passage. He tries to find another way to make God bring about his promise. And God will tell him, "No, that's not the way it's going to be. It's going to be your seed." Again, even what the Lord spoke to us this morning and reminded us, there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest, but you can't lose heart. And so to begin in this process of not losing heart, the Lord simply said these words. He said, "I am. I am. I am." And he said, "I am your shield." He said, "I am your reward." And in the process, it's all to reinforce the fact that we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. I don't know if you can read that well or not, but we have nothing to fear. Of course, we all remember World War II, and you have nothing to fear except fear itself. You know what? You don't even need to fear fear. You don't even need to go that route. Fear has no place. Not that kind of a fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. If God said it, He'll do it. And we need to begin to live that way. We need to begin to believe it. And the first thing I want to point out is you have nothing to fear because God is I am. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this. We've had others speak to us before about what it means when God says I am. But I do want to remind you of some of the scriptures involved. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, Moses is talking to God. He says, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" If we really get it into our head that God is I am, it will stand the test of time. It's something that future generations will pick up on. It's something that everyone can realize and begin to live according to. That God is I am. God is I am. Whatever it is that you have need of, God is I am. And so in the midst of all of our problems and our circumstances and the things that come at us to try and make us fear, there should be no room for fear in our lives, because we're not talking about that thing that looks so monumental in our path. Instead, we're focusing on the one who is everything we have need of, the great I Am. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 8, along these same lines, because God had said to Moses that as I am, He said, I was for Abraham, I was for Isaac, I was for Jacob, I was for Israel. And He says, you know, this is My name for all the generations. John 8 and 56, Jesus says to the religious leaders, He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day, and he was glad when he saw it. Then the Jews said to Him, you're not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The connotation here is that before your problem ever existed, and before your religion ever existed, and before your church ever existed, before you ever even knew God existed, Jesus said, I already was, and I continue to be. Vicki has a song that she sings, and I always like it when she sings that he's the God who is I Am, and not the great I was, but the great I am. And there's something to be said about realizing that God is right now. You see, the children of Israel, they forgot God is I Am, and Jesus shows up and reminds them I Am. And you know how they responded? They responded by taking up stones and desiring to kill Jesus. God is still I Am, and we've got to break out of all of the mentality around us that says God's not moving and God's not blessing and God's not doing. We've got to be encouraged and say it doesn't matter how dark that it is. I Am is still I Am. And Jesus said He is in our midst. Jesus said He would never leave us or forsake us. Jesus said He'd be with us always, even to the end. I Am is right here this morning. So here you have one reason that you have nothing to fear, and that is that Jesus is I Am. And we can always realize that we don't have to be afraid, because Jesus is the I Am greater than. I Am what you have need of. But then there's also two reasons given within the context of God being I Am. As He reveals Himself to Abraham on this occasion, and He reveals Himself as I Am, He also goes on to say, I am your shield. I am your extreme reward, is what I have here on the screen. But I am your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield. I am your reward. When we talk about shield, there's certain concepts that we have for shield. And most of these concepts even still reign true today. For shield, we know that it is a place of protection or an object that protects. It is a covering. It is a place or a position of security. It can even be a hiding place. And the shields that they had in the days, especially when we look into the Roman era, but even prior to that, many of the shields that they had were so large that a person could stand and put their entire body behind it. So much so that when Paul writes to us and tells us about the shield of faith that we have, he's using the type of shield there that has this concept of it being large enough to hide behind. And he says that with that shield of faith, you go and you can extinguish every fiery dart that the enemy launches at you. That particular type of a shield had a sharp point at the bottom. Yes, you could use it defensively or offensively if you wanted to, but that's not really the intent of the sharp end on the bottom of that shield. The bottom of that shield, the sharp point, was done in such a way so that you could put your foot on the base of the shield and push it into the ground. So that when the enemy would be lobbing its arrows and its fiery darts at you, you could just hunker up behind that shield and duck, and you knew that you had some level of security and safety when you were behind that shield. That shield is an important thing that we need to have. And so I Am says, I am your shield. And it is by our faith that we get to know I am. And sometimes in the face of everything that we're going through, sometimes we just simply have to hide behind the shield of who God is and just wait until every fiery dart is extinguished. Now, he said, I'm your shield. He also said, I am your exceedingly great reward. Not just your rewarder, but I am your reward. When we talk about this exceedingly great reward, what we're talking about is in the concept that it's relayed, it is your victory. It is the bounty that you receive after a victory. It is the prize that you have contended for and fought for. When we're talking about this, we're also talking about your blessing. God says to you and to me, I am your victory. I am your reward. I am the bounty. I am the spoils of your warfare. He says, I am your blessing and I am your prize and I am everything that you will ever need. I am your shield. I am your extreme reward. I want to talk about those just a little bit more. As far as our shield, David said in Psalm chapter 3 and verse 3, You, O Lord, are a shield about me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. You're my shield. Because you protect me, you can lift up my head. Even in the face of adversity and problems and attacks, God, I'm hidden behind you. And as a result, God, you lift up my head. I'm not going to be down in the molly grubs while I'm hiding behind that shield. How many times do we go out against the enemy and we have our shield of faith and sometimes we think that it's about the size of a piece of paper and about as thick? Right? And we go out and we face the enemy and we get discouraged and our head is down. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to focus on how intense the attack is. We're supposed to focus on how great our God is. And as we focus on how great our God is, those fiery darts begin to be extinguished upon contact with our faith that we have in the God that we're hiding behind. It's all right to hide behind God. It's all right to hide behind somebody who's bigger than you when the bullies come to get you. My dad was in grade school, and there were these bullies that were always picking on him. And I think I shared this with some of you before. But my dad would be picked on, and he had this cousin. Big cousin, strong cousin. Could whip anybody. And so my dad would go and hide behind her. And the bullies wouldn't mess with her because they didn't like getting beat up by a girl. God is our shield. He's a shield around us. And as a result, He can lift up our heads. He gives us a little bit of dignity even while we're still standing in that place where we're hiding. Because you're not just hiding in some reclusive spot that nobody can get to. You're hiding behind the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're hiding in the presence of the One who created the entire universe. And the devil trembles at the sound of His name. And you're hiding behind Him. He's our shield. Isaiah 58 and verse 8 says, Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. And the glory of the Lord will become your rear guard. See, God even guards your backside. You hide in God. You hide in His presence. You hide behind the shield of who God is. I am your shield. And God deals with all those fiery darts because of your faith. What about our extreme reward, our exceedingly great reward? I love the fact that the author here, you know, when it's written, Moses receives this, talking about what God said to Abram. Moses doesn't write down, he's your great reward. He doesn't write down that he's an exceeding reward. He says it's exceedingly great. It's not only great, it's beyond great. The reward that He has for you in Himself is beyond your wildest imagination. It is exceedingly great. And so it's an extreme reward. It is something far greater than anything you could ever accomplish or receive on your own. And the Lord says He is our reward. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Back again to this issue of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please I am. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He must believe I am is I am. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He wants people to come and hide in him, but to realize that he wants to reward them. Now, what he told Abraham is, I am your reward. He wants us to diligently seek him, coming to him for the victory, for the spoils, for the blessing. Now, I know there's a lot of times that we get into the presence of God and all we say is, bless me, bless me, bless me. That's not what God is saying. God is saying we've got to have the faith that we come before him and realize he is not only the rewarder, but he is the reward. God, I'm in your presence and therefore I am blessed. God, I'm in your presence, and therefore it doesn't matter what it is that I think I have need of. You are I am, and I have you, and you are my reward. You are my reward. I look around at life today and I look around at all kinds of problems and difficulties and situations and it's hard sometimes to find, where is my reward? You know, that's the way we're wired. Where's my reward? What do I get out of it? What am I getting out of all this? Sometimes I look around and I see Melody and I see Ian and I see Joshua and I think, well, that's my reward. That's my reward. I've got my children. That's my reward. Can't afford to feed them sometimes, but that's my reward. You hear where I'm coming from? And it does something special to me when I realize that's a pretty great reward. Sometimes I look and I see my wife. And I see I have my reward there. There's my wife. She's my reward. If we lose the parsonage, if we lose our car, if we lose our source of income, we still have each other. That's a pretty good reward. But then God is saying, you know what? I've got so much more in store. And it's all resting in who I am. Not who Daryl Buttram is, but who God is. And it's like, why don't you seek diligently to get to know me a little bit better and find another aspect out about who I am so that you can see that I'm rewarding you with who I am? God wants to be our great, exceedingly great reward. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, remember Jesus teaching us about prayer? He says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Will reward you openly. How many times do we go into that secret place and we say, God, I've got this need and I'm coming before you and I'm praying. And so when I walk out of this closet and go out there in the open, I want everybody to be able to see how that you rewarded me and gave me exactly what I prayed for. God told Abram, I am your reward. What God is trying to communicate through the words that Jesus gave us about prayer is when we go into that secret place, God meets us there, and then He goes with us when we walk out the door, and God begins to show everyone that He is our reward. God's reward is God. I think about the Levitical priesthood. I think about Aaron and his sons and how that all of the other tribes, they all got this inheritance, this great inheritance. They got land and they got houses that the enemy had vacated, and they got the riches that were there in the ground, and they got the fruit trees, and they got the vines, and they got the gardens, and all the other tribes, they got all of this stuff. And you know what Aaron and all of his family got? They got having to kill and butcher the animals. They got having to start the fire. They got having to take down the tabernacle and move it from place to place. They got having to make sure that the showbread was in place. They got having to make sure the oil was in the candlestick and that it was always lit. They had to go through all, they got the work. Everybody else got stuff. They got God's stuff. And everything that they do, they're doing it for God. But you know what God told them? Numbers 18, verse 20. The Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them." Why? "Because I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. I am your reward." But notice where he said that he was going to be their reward. In the presence of Israel. Now you can look in 2 Peter, or in 1 Peter chapter 2, was it verse 11? We talked about it last week in Sunday school. You can look there and see how that we are a royal priesthood, right? If we can get a hold of this morning and begin to really attach it to ourselves. The God who told Abram, "I am your shield, but I'm also your exceedingly great reward, your extreme reward." The same God who said that is the same God who said to Aaron and his sons, "I am your inheritance. I am your portion in the presence of Israel." Jesus said, if you enter into the secret place, your Father comes into that secret place and hears you and sees you and rewards you openly in public in front of everyone. Do you see where we're going here? Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because you first have to believe that He is the I Am and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We come into that secret place. We seek the face of God. We cry out to Him, and God hears us and He rewards us openly, because just like it was for the Levites, they went out into public in the presence of Israel, and God proved that He was their reward. So when we go into the secret place and we get alone with God, and God brings us closer and deeper, and yes, we may be hiding behind that shield, but He's lifting up our head. And as He's lifting up our head, we look into the face of Jesus and He says, "I am, and I am right here." And we walk out into the battle, and the enemy looks, and he doesn't see us. He sees Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, he turns and he runs. Seven sons of Sceva go out looking for a demon to fight with. They find one. "We rebuke you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached." Paul spent his time seeking the face of God. The Lord rewarded him openly by showing that "I am" was with Paul. But the seven sons of Sceva didn't go after the reward. They didn't go with the shield. They went in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, without knowing Jesus. And the demon said, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you?" God wants to show up in our lives not only as the rewarder, but as the reward. And He wants to do it openly. He wants to show up openly. Not just in the hidden places. Not just when we gather together. But when we're in Walmart, the Holy Spirit wants to come over us. and show us when that person beside us is in the wheelchair that we can take them by the hand and in Jesus' name they can stand up and walk. But we have to realize that I am, is with us. Nothing to fear because I am is here. I know, sounds like underdog or something, right? We have nothing to fear. The I am is with us, and he is both our shield to protect us and the reward that we're longing for. He can give us all of the things that our heart desires. He can give us the money. He can give us the homes. He can give us the cars. He can give us the fame. He can give us all of those things. But if we don't have him, we don't have anything. He is our shield. And he is our exceedingly great reward. Will you stand? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, this is your word. This is the word that you gave. This is the word that you very clearly told me I was supposed to deliver this morning. And Father, I believe that the way that the service has gone, I believe that everything is directly connected into what you are doing in the Spirit. I believe, Lord, that you want to encourage us, that we are to look to you and not be afraid. We are not to lose heart. We are to focus in on you, knowing, God, that you are both our shield and our exceedingly great reward. And whatever it is that we're up against, whatever it is that we're going through, you are going to protect us if we focus on you. You don't want us to focus on the enemy. You don't want us to focus on the attack. You don't want us to focus on the negatives and the problems. You want us to focus in on who you are and let you reveal who you are in deeper ways in our lives. Father, help us to commit to diligently seek after you, to come to that place, Lord, where we will not give up, we will not let go, we will keep on seeking your face until we have received the great reward. Whether you heal us along the way or not, whether you provide for us along the way or not, whether you deliver us along the way or not, God, we're going to seek you just for who you are. And Lord, when we find you, all those other things will be eclipsed by how great that you are. So Lord, reveal your greatness within us and through us. Be our shield and be our exceedingly great reward. In Jesus' powerful name we pray.